Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Yesterday, March 25th, the church observed the Annunciation. That means it is just 9 months until Christmas, when the church celebrates, through attendance of divine service, the birth of Christ our Lord. And thus, according to God's created nature, the church celebrated yesterday the announcement of the angel to Mary that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit and that the Savior of the world would be in her womb. That our Lord Jesus Christ, true God, our God, has so honored the womb that he took up residence there. This is, of course, it makes for great importance for the procreation of children. It makes it a wondrous and godly thing. But more in this, of course, is that our God is a God who comes to save us. And he comes to save us, and he is like us in every way, our human brother. Adam looked forward to that day. He named his wife Eve, the mother of all living, just right after he'd been told that he was dust and to dust he shall return. Eve looked forward and saw that day, thinking her firstborn son was the promised seed who would crush the head of that serpent. They both had faith in the promised Christ that God would send, that God himself would come and rescue them, even if they didn't quite know the timing of Christ's birth. Abraham tells Isaac, God will provide for himself the lamb. Jesus then says that Abraham rejoiced to see his day, which is, of course, the joyful anticipation that only faith in Jesus can bring. That Abraham trusted in Christ, and that Isaac, often not spoken of, but Isaac did as well, just as Isaac accepts his father's word and moves upward toward the mountaintop. Mary looked forward to that day as well. She faithfully accepts the word of the angel Gabriel about the conception of Jesus. She's the beneficiary of the promise given to Eve long before her. Where the devil had tricked Eve into certain death, Gabriel, the angel of God, brought promise and truth to Mary. And by the Son of Mary, God come into the flesh, those who believe would not see death. Some 30 years, or a little more than that, after his conception, our Lord Jesus Christ is active, teaching God's word, proclaiming the kingdom of God coming amongst his people. He's doing miracles, signs, so to speak, to confirm his message. He is fulfilling all that the Old Testament had written about him. And the devil, the old serpent, knows it. And so he musters everyone under his control to try to undermine Christ. That's the account we have today from John chapter 8. That the devil's own were after God, fulfilling his promises and redeeming the world. As I said at the introduction, today is the beginning of something within the season of Lent called Passiontide. Things begin today to shift towards a Good Friday focus in a much more focused way. The Old Testament lesson fits. Words of a father, his only son, who bears the wood of his own sacrifice, a lamb, and so forth. You can't hear the Genesis 22 lesson and not think about the crucifixion of Jesus. The epistle lesson summarizes the work of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, who offers his own blood to God to redeem the world and does it. The gospel lesson focuses on Christ being perfect, sinless, that pure and without blemish Lamb of God. speaks of Him speaking the Word of God truthfully, of giving all glory and honor to the Father and Himself being true God. I am. The one whom all the saints looked forward to seeing by faith in God's Word, that is to say, by having faith in Him. It sets up the requirements for Christ's death to be the propitiation for all sin and the Redeemer of sinners. And yet this week's lessons and this week's focus ties to previous weeks in Lent as well. Blessed still, as we heard, are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Whereas Jesus says, blessed are you if you believe it. For today we find out from Jesus' own promise that by believing God's Word, you avoid seeing death. Especially in regards to the eternal redemption that Christ earns for us and the eternal death He saves us from. That the devil and demons are mentioned once again, drawing us back to previous weeks. Also then we see this teaching that we heard just a couple weeks ago, that you are either of God or you're of the devil. There are no neutral people. And all of this is shown in that text today and those past texts. That a battle for eternity is fought by Christ. And you are the blessed recipients of His victory over sin, death, and the devil. We rejoice in that good news in a couple weeks. The lesson from John chapter 8 is the culmination of two chapters of contentious discussion and debate between Jesus and the Jews who had authority. The question is constantly being put out there, who Jesus is. Who is He? There are in those two chapters many wrong answers and, of course, some right answers along the way as some come to believe. But in the text today, Jesus makes it very clear that He is both true man, the fact that is even acknowledged by His opponents, but yet He is also true God, a claim that He makes about Himself that the Jews completely understood, and that's why they take up stones to kill Him. He is true man, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, and yet true God, begotten of His Father from all eternity, that He is two natures, and yet He is one Christ. So why does the devil so stir up the crowd to take stones out to try to kill Jesus? The devil cannot stand the fact that Jesus is God. The devil's own, then, can't stand that either, much less can they believe it. So the devil uses his old tool of lies and murder to try to change everything. Since he first conquered and murdered mankind by his lies, his followers, and follower is way too easy of a word for those who are under his authority because it implies choice. No, they are actually his slaves. They use their master's tools as well. So they lie about Jesus. They call Him names. Samaritan, demon. They accuse Him of being under the possession of a demon. They don't listen to what He says. They misquote Him throughout that gospel lesson today. They contest everything He says. And eventually, when words fail them, then they take up stones. Jesus said they were of their Father, and that their father was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And the text and their actions and their words prove Jesus right. Finally, Jesus says in our text today, Jesus is before Abraham. He is the I Am that we first hear of in Exodus chapter 3, which is, of course, Him in not so subtle a way claiming to be God, drawing from the Old Testament. Everyone hearing it heard exactly what He said, and that's why they take up stones. They thought He had blasphemed. But yet Jesus, God, stands there in the flesh, speaking to them. That this is the mystery of the Incarnation, something of which we celebrated yesterday at the Annunciation. But it is also the required way for us to be fully redeemed, fully atoned for, from what Adam and Eve had sold us into. True man, Jesus must be our substitute, fully like us in every way. But yet Jesus must live a perfect life in the place of all the sinful lives that we lead. He must be conceived without sin, unlike we who are conceived in sin, that is, original sin. He must be able to die as an innocent sacrifice, not deserving the death he suffers. He must be able to bleed and die so that his blood can cover and atone for sins and pay the redemption price. And yet, he must also be true God, for his sacrifice must be enough to accomplish what needs to be done once for all people everywhere of all time. This is what the scriptures lay out. That's a lot of explanation for the simple fact that this is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus makes himself out to be. True God, true man, the perfect sacrifice for all sin, the Redeemer of the world. This is what he was conceived for. This is what he contended for. This is what he suffered and died for. Your sin, your death, your enslavement to the devil. That these are taken care of by Christ, completed by the God-man. That by his person and his work, your sin is forgiven. By his person and his work, your death will never be seen. By his person and his work, your enslavement to the devil is over, for you are redeemed unto God. Your conscience is purified from dead works to serve the living God. The faithful, Adam and Eve and all onward, the faithful throughout all time have believed this. They've rejoiced in it. They've heard these words and they have entrusted themselves to the God who makes such promises, the triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they did, as they did not live with God, so also we do now rejoicing to see the coming day of our Lord's return. The church here, the Annunciation, the season of Lent, this small bit called Passiontide, and all that is yet to come with next Sunday, Palm Sunday, all of Holy Week and Easter, is for preaching. That by hearing what Christ has promised, by hearing what Christ has fulfilled, and by trusting it, you would have exactly what he's promised, that you would not see death. That Christ our Lord is the Lamb of God whom God provided for himself, the required perfect sacrifice for all sin, once for all. That means for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.